The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Turning to the disciples in private, he said, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I say to you, many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, but didn't see it, and to hear what you hear, but didn't hear it. The Gospel of the Lord. Today, on this third day of Advent, the Church continues to train us with the qualities that we need to run forth to meet Christ when he comes. Today, she focuses on two. First is spiritual childhood. The Advent season leading to Christmas should make us younger, should rekindle in us those thoughts that we had when we used to be filled with such excitement. As the days started to thin and it started to get colder. Today, Jesus rejoices in the Holy Spirit, praising the Father for revealing the mysteries of his kingdom to the childlike. It's not that he refuses to reveal them to the worldly clever and the wise. It's just they and all their pseudo-sophistication are impervious to it. They rationalize against the mysteries. They can no longer, with childlike trust and wonder, embrace things that finite human intellects can't comprehend. So, Jesus wants us to become childlike. He sends the Holy Spirit precisely to bring that about so that we might cry out, Abba, Father. Today's first reading from the prophecy of Isaiah about what will happen when the Messiah finally comes. Isaiah first talks about the Holy Spirit, that Spirit that will rest upon the shoot sprouting from the stump of Jesse, who is Jesus. Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, strength, knowledge, and awe of the Lord. And that same Spirit is the one who, through Christ, comes to rest on us, so that we too might rejoice in his presence and be filled with these gifts. A little bit later in this passage, we get one of the consequences of living truly according to the revelation Christ has revealed by the power of the Spirit. If we live true spiritual childhood, then we will recognize in others beloved sons and daughters of that same Father. And our behavior toward them should change. The worldly sophisticated think that, hey, listen, we got to be cynical. That way we'll never be taken advantage of. We'll put up all of these walls and protections and everything else. And they would think that this language of Isaiah is simply utopian and impossible. Wolf being a guest of the lamb, leopards lying down with kids, calves and young lions browsing together, cows and bears as neighbors, babies playing with cobras and adders. Sounds so unrealistic, doesn't it? But little kids can appreciate this, that when we're really living according to the revelation and according to the gift of God, enemies can really become friends. Hatred and fear can be replaced by love. God can bring about a true revolution. But it's only the childlike who appreciate this extraordinarily transformative power of God. Second great lesson that the church teaches us today is about zeal to spread this reality. At the end of the gospel today, Jesus says, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For many prophets and kings desired to see what you see but didn't see it, to hear what you hear but didn't hear it." Yes, we have been extraordinarily privileged. And if Jesus could say this about the disciples and apostles 2,000 years ago, how much more does he say it about us, who hear his word every morning, who not only behold the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sins of the world, but who can touch him and be touched by him, who can become one with him in Holy Communion. How blessed are we. But when we're truly spiritually childlike, something happens. We become like St. John the Apostle, who wrote to the early Christians about what he had seen and heard, what he had touched and come to know concerning the Word of Life, that he burned to share with others. Not just so that their eyes could see and ears hear and tongues and stomachs and lives touch, but so that his own joy might be complete, because it couldn't be the type of joy that it's meant to be if it's kept within, because joy ultimately needs to be shared. And the woe that Christians feel to proclaim the gospel is ultimately a woe of joy. We want others to experience this happiness. At the end of today's first reading with Isaiah, there's an image of this proclamation, the shearing. On that day, the root of Jesse, Jesus again, will be set up as a signal for the nations, whom the Gentiles will seek out, for his dwelling will be glorious. You probably know the O antiphon's Inside Out. Which O antiphon is this? This is December 19th, the third O antiphon. O radix Jesse, qui stas in signum populorum, quem gentes deprecabuntur. O root of Jesse, you who stand as a sign to the nations, and not just a sign, but an efficacious sign, a sacrament of God's being with us. He brings it about efficaciously. And it's not just for us with the privileged eyes and ears. It's for all the nations. He has come precisely to be Lord of the nations. And he reveals it to the childlike who want to bring that to make others other children. Today the church celebrates somebody who was childlike, his approach to the faith, and then who burned with a zeal to bring that joy to others. After St. Paul, the greatest missionary, St. Francis Xavier. We all read on this day St. Francis' incredible letter in 1544 back to his old roommate and religious superior, St. Ignatius, talking about what he did in Goa, what he did in Borneo, what he did in Japan, what he was dying to bring to China as he died on China's shores. This incredible gift of what he himself had encountered. He wanted and he knew that Christ would be the sacrament for all the nations. And with the energy of 10,000, doubtless coming from that Spanish soil, he brought this gift. That letter describes something that every age has to confront, which is lack of zeal. He longed to go to the universities of Europe, especially Paris, where he attended. Just said, "Do you not realize that people are dying without knowing Jesus because of you? would that your charity equaled your learning. He was baptizing 10,000 a day, that so many knew that they were Christians but didn't know anything else. They were longing for people just to teach him the Our Father. And that's what kept him going. And how much he prays for us to have that same passion. In the opening prayer today, and we'll see in the prayer after Holy Communion, we ask the Lord almost for the same thing twice, which is very rare in the church's liturgy. In the opening prayer, we talk about how St. Francis Xavier burned with zeal to spread the faith. And after we've received Holy Communion, we will beg the Lord that we might burn with that same zeal. Imagine what would happen to New York if we did. Imagine what would happen to the world if we did. Today, through his intercession, as we've heard God's word and prepare to behold him, receive him, consume him, and enter into Holy Communion with him, he who is this sign for all the nations, we ask that we might embrace this mystery with childlike receptivity, wonder, and trust. And then from it, hunger, like Francis Xavier, to share this incredible gift with others.